Sophia, did you know that the ESA has a podcast?
Girl, what?
This is Pros and Cons. All right, so how'd we get this podcast name? Do you want to explain it to the people?
Yeah, so Pros and Cons, pros, P-R-O-S-E.
I'm glad we can spell. Yeah.
And we're going to be talking about the English program, Laureate, and all the positives and negatives that comes with.
And there are so many of them.
Lots. That's why we're going to have 6 episodes.
That's a lot of episodes. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little scared. So, what's your name?
My name is Sophia.
My name's Evelyn. And we're both English students, and we made a podcast, which is what we're doing right now. This is the first episode. We don't know how well it's going to go. This is a trial and error episode.
Yep, so thank you for listening and being here already. But we aren't just English majors.
We aren't. We do so much more than that.
We do a lot more.
Dare I say too much?
It's a questionable ad sometimes.
Yeah, so I'm also in history. I love history. Sorry, English.
I'm English and cultural studies, so a little popular culture in my back pocket.
I just look at old documents.
And I look at the most recent TV show. Very, very different.
Yeah, I talk about old dead white guys. That's my main thing. So we thought we'd start our podcast with, like, recommendations. What are we consuming right now? You know, we're English majors. We consume a lot of media. We talk about it. Dare I say yap?
Yap, 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 yap.
So, Sophia, what's your media recommendation right now?
My media recommendation right now is Wicked, the soundtrack. I listen to it every day. My favorite is The Wizard and I.
Are you holding space?
I'm holding maybe too much space for, maybe not Defying Gravity. Honestly, not my favorite song, but
That's controversial.
And possibly, but The Wizard and I, I'm holding space for that song.
I have a funny story. Yesterday, in one of our classes, one of our profs said, holding space, and I look over at two of our classmates, and they started holding each other's fingers.
That's awesome. If you can't see us right now, which is only me and Evelyn, we're holding our fingers right now.
Yeah, our fingers are touching. No, they're not. There's a table between us. My media recommendation, I have started watching an anime called Solo Leveling. Mm-hmm. And I started reading the comic. I read about 150 chapters of the comic in 2 days.
Wow.
I had other readings to do.
Like Anne of Green Gables.
Like Anne of Green Gables, of course. Which I did get done. But yeah, it's actually a Korean comic. It's about a guy who levels up by himself. Hence the title, Solo Leveling. It's actually really good. The artwork is incredible. So check it out.
Yeah, awesome. So with that, What is your role, Evelyn, in ESA? Or we haven't even said our full club name. We are part of the English Student Association.
An association not just for English students, contrary to our name.
Yep.
We always say everyone is welcome. I am one of the co-presidents. I was previously the VP of Events and Outreach. So I put together events, and I sent a lot of emails, and that was my life for about 2 years. Yeah, it's honestly really fun. What's your role?
Me? Well, I don't think you know this, but I'm the other co-president.
You are?
It's crazy.
I didn't know that. Yep. This is news to me, guys.
some would label us two peas in a pod, but some would. That may just be me.
Yeah. Although, like, most days on campus, we're hanging out together. Before this, we were hanging out, yeah. Mm-hmm. How did you get, like, what made you apply to the ESA? Like, how'd you get into this?
Well, at the, I went to a few ESA events in my first year during peak COVID.
Real.
Where there's like me and one other person at an event, which was just a little depressing. And no shade to the previous ESA execs, but I felt I could do a better marketing job. And so when I applied to be the marketing VP, which I ended up getting, and I've done that for the last 2 years, and I am so grateful. It allowed me to get a writing tutor job. I'm now a marketing assistant for the school. So, you know, my one decision at the end of first year really got me to do a lot of things.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about me now.
Let's talk about you.
So I was on vacation in August, and I was on Instagram, and I saw, like, a post, VP of Outreach role.
Mm.
I was in the middle of nowhere. It was a miracle that I had service to be on Instagram. And I'm like, why not, you know? So I applied, also at the end of first year, right before second year. And then I just spent that year sending emails. And then in third year, we had our original VP of Outreach of events decide not to do it. And I'm like, this is my time to shine. And so I became the VP of events. And I say I put on some pretty crazy events last year.
They were really successful.
They were. Not to toot my own horn, but I'm tooting my own horn. On events, Sophia, what's your favorite ESA memory?
I think my favorite ESA memory is last year in 2023. We had... It was my idea. It wasn't your idea for an event, which is maybe it's not my favorite. The paint and sip night that we had, where we, you know, painted bookmarks and then got some mocktails from Wilf's. And I think the best part of it was the entire time our events team was stressed to the max. And I was just there, you know, doing marketing and just painting away bookmarks.
So... yeah, we do actually have very different memories of that evening. 'Cause a lot more people came than we thought.
A lot more. It was crazy.
We thought there would be maybe like 15 people. I think we had 40 at our peak time.
It was a lot.
So yeah, I was really stressed the whole time.
Mm.
And then I had to leave early because I had an essay due the next day. However, my favorite memory... was at the beginning of 2024 with our vision board night.
Mm.
I loved that. I got to go to Uptown. I got a bunch of used and old magazines. And then, like, 3 days later, I was hanging out with you guys, and we just made vision boards. We collaged all night. It was honestly a great time. Speaking of which, we're going to be collaging on Wednesday, tomorrow.
Yep.
This isn't going to be out by the time that we have the no. event, but I just want to say, like, we have a craft night, and I love craft nights.
Yep. Fun fact, that vision board night last year, also my idea.
It was. I'm going to be honest, I didn't, like, come up with a whole lot of events. I just executed them really well.
That's all that matters. In fact, vision board night was one of our least successful nights.
It was. I will say the RSVP had about 20 people. And then I think maybe 8 showed up.
Yeah.
So they're just fake.
Yeah, shout out to those 6 who came.
Shout out to them. They collaged so well.
So going further into our programs, the silent laugh is killing me across the table. But we aren't just double majors. We're a little extra fancy. Where we both have... double minors, because if you don't know this already, Laurier is a great place to customize your degree.
Yeah.
And if you're paying all this tuition, I'm going to attach everything to my degree as possible. So, Evelyn, what are your 2 minors?
My 2 minors are North American Studies and Canadian Studies. Fun fact, they're practically the same thing. All the classes that go towards each class to each minor are the exact same, because I take a lot of Canadian history courses. So, yeah.
I mean, your employer doesn't have to know that.
I think my employer would like that in the future. Someone who wants to be a teacher, history teacher, Canadian history.
Yeah.
I'm the girl for that. What are your minors, Sophia?
I have one real one and one kind of fake one. I have a history minor because my grandfather's a history professor, so I put a little, you know, a little extra onto my degree for that.
Just for him. just love him so much.
And the potential second teacher pool, but.
Oh, yeah, your backup.
The backup to my backup. And then my fake minor is it's a minor within the English program called Youth Texts and Contexts.
What is that?
I know. Nobody knows what this is. It's crazy.
I didn't know it existed until I met you.
Well, the minor, it's like one first year English class. You take the first year youth studies class, which is honestly super easy. I recommend. Great first year class to take in third year. And then the other four classes you get to pick from a list. All of them are from the English program. There's some psych, some gender studies, but I picked all the courses I would have taken anyways. So to like double count things, find loopholes. It's like the fairy tale class, Child in Africa, YA lit, tween lit, they all counted. So it was a super easy minor to get.
Did you have to go to the advisor and say, here's a bunch of classes I think apply to this?
No, it's a list on the academic calendar, actually.
Oh.
The only thing I had to go to the academic advisor for was there was one course that ended up counting, which is a second-year gender studies class, Girls, Women, and Popular Culture. And because it also counted towards my cultural studies degree, it was like being double counted. So I had to like go to the cultural studies advisor, which went, I don't know. And then I went to the gender studies prof, and they're like, I don't know. And then I went to the English prof where the actual like minor is, and they went, I don't know. So I ended up getting it anyways because it like triple counted or whatever. But shout out to, you know, university bureaucracy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, university bureaucracy. How many classes have we taken? I think it's 25.
Oh, 25?
No, 35.
36? For me, I took two summer courses.
She's just an overachiever.
Fun fact, I'm going to share so many tips on this podcast. If you want your Disney Fast Pass to course registration, take like one summer class. You can take, you know, like an asynchronous class. I took women in sports, which was so wonderful, so interesting. I thought I would hate it because, you know, you sports. But I took it.
That's where we disagree.
Well, I don't know. I learned to like it in the end. It was really fun.
That's called growth, guys.
I got to talk about like lesbian hockey players, and that was pretty fun.
That is fun.
And then that one class ends up counting towards your registration credit, and you get to go before some of, you know, the other people.
And that's why I didn't get the fourth year seminar I wanted.
And that's why I did.
And that's why she did. But it worked out for me in the end because I'm doing an even cooler one on Canadian youth fiction, which I am loving so far, other than the fact that it's a novel a week.
Yep, and fun fact, I'm also in that. So is it that special?
But there's no one else. We're the only
ones.
That's
true. We're the two special people.
We're very special. I've taken one less class than you. Technically two, because one of my classes is a full credit.
Yeah.
So I've taken 34.
Yeah.
But it was as much work as two classes, so I'm counting it. Of the classes you've taken, what is your favorite?
I'm going to do a letterbox.
Oh.
Hint for later. But I think my favorite class in first year was EN190. Shout out to the English program for getting rid of that class. It was so fun. I had Jocelyn. They were great. Popular culture class. Yeah, it was great. I wrote the big research paper that was like 10, 11 pages. Ended up getting
so
it
big.
Published.
That is
first,
impressive.
First semester of first year, writing 10 pages. It was terrifying.
Yeah.
Quivering.
No, publishing a paper that you wrote in first year is super impressive.
It was crazy. Second year, favorite class is probably YA Lit. Close second is Tween Lit.
Those are good ones.
Third year is probably KS340 with Dr. Shaughnessy Brown. Love that class, super fun. And, the class title was Being Black in Diaspora. So it was a lot of post-colonial theory and Black studies, which was super fun to learn about. And then right now, I've taken a lot of good classes this year.
This year's been good.
It's gonna be hard. Best one, I would probably say my directed study in cultural studies.
Yeah.
Fun fact about the cultural studies program, they only offer one fourth year seminar. So you're forced to take it. And if it's bad, well, you have no choice.
That's just an L. You got to suck it up.
Exactly.
Got to graduate.
Although I'm taking the fourth year seminar right now, and it's actually really fun. But I did my directed study with Dr. Sarah Matthews, lover. And then, you know.
Dare I say one of the goats.
Possibly wrote me a lot of reference letters for grad school. And then the directed study was on Star Wars and gender. So watching one Star Wars film a week, got to read a book, a comic, super fun.
Fun fact, Sophia loves Star Wars. So that's yes. Just her dream.
It's my dream. I've been dreaming about it since first year. So it's weird now that that dream has passed and like come. And I'm like, well, what do I do now?
What does she do with her life when she can't talk about gender and Star Wars every week to Dr. Exactly. Sarah Matthews?
What about you, Evelyn?
My top classes. So, I don't think any of them are going to be English classes, if I'm being honest.
She's a fake, an imposter.
I am. I'm sorry.
We found her.
Yeah, and I'm the president. I'm one of the presidents. I'm a representative of the students. Okay, first year, NO105, Billionaires, Obviously. Beavers, Bandits, of course, they're taught by two of my favorite profs, they're married, they're incredible, Kevin and Bina, I love them.
Dare I say, the goats.
They are the goats, there's no disputing that. You took that class in first year.
I took that class, it was really good, it was really fun.
Yours was online though, mine was in person.
It was online for 1 month.
Were you in winter term?
Yeah.
Maybe you were in the same class. That's very possible.
Well, like the way that they split it up.
It's by name, and our last names are on different sides of the alphabet.
That's true.
As the IA, I know. but yeah, it's an incredible class. It's North American Studies. We talk about Canada, the US, Mexico. We look at their histories, how they work together, how they don't work together sometimes. And it's just really fun. It's active learning. One of my favorite classes. Taking it honestly changed the trajectory of my university career because I started taking North American Studies classes. Obviously, I have a minor in it. Now I'm in IA for the course. I got to go to Michigan. So there's my pitch. Second year. This one's tough. But I'm going to go with NO211. Canadian Identities and Cultures.
Let's go, Bina.
Let's go, Bina. Bina teaches it. I really enjoyed that class. I got to talk about Canadian Identities and Cultures, and that's one of my favorite things to talk about. Honorable mention to Multiculturalism and Literature, because that one was really enjoyable. EN 252, we looked at a lot of like immigrant and diaspora stories in Canada and the U.S., and I liked that one. Third year, this one, it's a tie between two history classes.
Womp, womp, womp.
The first one, HI398, The Historian's Craft, one of the most helpful classes I've ever had in terms of like studying history, because it taught me about how to study history and how history's been studied for the past 200 years. Mm. And it's been very helpful in fourth year, learning about historiography. And then the other one is HI312, Canadian-American Relations, taught by one of the other goats, Kevin. it's fairly self-explanatory. It's Canadian and American relations throughout the 19th and 20th centuries, and I got to talk about anti-Americanism, and I also love to talk about that.
Reminiscent of your MRP proposal.
Yes. Literally, my proposal is Canadian-American relations, Canadian identity, and anti-Americanism.
That's no wonder you like Bell's seminar.
Fourth year. Oh, my goodness. Honestly, right now I'll say YA Lit, because I really enjoyed that one. The books were fun. I liked learning about youth culture. By the end of the term, it's probably going to change to my research seminar, where I'm writing an 8,000-word paper on the election of 1911 in Brantford and Canadian identity.
And this is why I'm only a history minor.
And I love it. I love it so, 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 so much. And I could talk about it for hours, but I won't bore you or anyone else. That's for my mom to hear, to be bored out of her mind.
And your supervisor.
And my supervisor, Kevin. Assuming that all goes through. But my mom's also probably going to listen to this, so I'm shouting her out.
Yeah. Shout out Evelyn's mom.
Shout out Veronica. So on our favorite classes, what's your least favorite class? We're very passionate about some of these.
My least favorite English class is EN233.
Oh, yeah.
I think Wa is a wonderful person.
She's name dropping. She's name dropping.
But I don't think was born to study Shakespeare. So it was a struggle.
I remember when you took that class.
I'm so glad I honestly didn't even need to take the class. It was the academic advisor said, hey, if you're going to do your master's and your PhD, you need a wide breadth of courses. So I ended up taking Shakespeare. But anything I'm going to study is within popular culture. So why am I studying Shakespeare? But that was the LI I took on. And slightly 75% regret.
I remember, like, when you took that was in third year. There was misery in your eyes talking about it.
Yes. It's wonderful when you go up to a professor and you're like, I'm struggling. And they go, oh, is this the first English class you've taken? And you're like, no, I've actually already taken 12.
The people can't see, but my jaw just dropped.
It's true. I went up to him after class and I was like, I think it's a you problem. But, Maybe it was a two-way street.
Maybe. Because maybe there was some incompatibility there.
Yeah.
Not my favorite class. My least favorite class. On the same strand as Sophia. I can't remember the course number. I'm pulling it up right now. EN234. Shakespeare Tragedies and Histories. Nothing against Shakespeare. I like his plays. I took the romances and comedies class when I was in second year, and I enjoyed it, which is why I took the tragedies and histories. But boy, oh boy, was it different.
Yeah, well, it was a different professor it teaching was a, that class.
It so. Was a different professor. Sophia, how would you feel if on the first day of class you open the syllabus and you see that at some point you're going to have to perform part of a Shakespeare play?
I would immediately drop the class.
So I wasn't smart and I didn't drop it.
Yeah, as a shy person who makes me speak at public events, I think that was an interesting choice on your part.
I will say I managed to snag a non-speaking role. So I did Macbeth, and there's a scene where Banquo's ghost appears right after he's killed by Macbeth's men. And I said to my group, I'm playing Banquo's ghost. And no one disputed it. They let me have it. They let me experience that. So I wore all white. And at some points, Banquo's ghost disappears. So I had to crawl under a table. Which, incidentally, I used an ESA tablecloth. I don't think I told anyone that. It doesn't matter. I put it back. But
It's all good. It's all good. We are, like, the co-presidents, so I think it's okay.
I use student union funds for my project. Oh, no one tell them that. That'd be kind of not great. Speaking of not great, all-nighters. They suck.
They do suck.
So, Sophia, describe to me your absolute worst all-nighter experience. Like genuinely one where you wanted to pull your hair out and probably never wake up once you go back to sleep.
I think the worst all-nighter that I pulled was last semester for my fourth year English seminar. I was writing my seminar paper, which I got a week extension on. I proceeded to not work on it for the next week.
I do remember that.
And I am notorious for completing long papers within 24 hours.
She is.
It's just who I am, and, you know, normally I don't get penalized, so it's okay. But it's always Dob. I always have the all-nighters in Dob. And
she
I was
does.
There forever writing my paper on female masturbation and pop music. So it was an enjoyable topic, but I had already done the seminar, and it's really hard to write something that you've talked about for like 30 minutes and like summarize it into like 9 pages with like coherent examples. It's very hard. So that was, I documented it on Instagram, and then I went home for Christmas and hung out with my high school friends, and they're like, so those stories in November, I was like, oh, I kind of forgot you could see those, but
that's what the close friends story's for. I posted it there, and then my friends in like back home from high school will be like, Evelyn, what were you doing? And then I'll always post like a brief summary of my paper on whatever story I post, and some of them will be like, what does that even mean? Because a lot of my friends are like business, STEM people.
Same.
So me talking about like modern representations of the traditional epic in Wordsworth, the prelude.
Yep.
Over their heads. Yes. I realized I can't do gestures. Yeah, my least favorite all-nighter. I do actually have a favorite all-nighter, fun fact. I'll talk about that one later.
I think ours is the same.
I don't think so.
Really?
I can't think of what you're thinking of. I'll find out. But my least favorite, it was last year in third year at the end of winter term. I had a crazy term. A lot of things happened personally, not limited to my laptop dying and also almost like losing my house because the lease was canceled. But I like had 3 papers due in the span of a week because I got extensions on all of them. And then exams were also starting. So I was every day like staying up till about 4 or 5 in the morning running on Monster Energy and just like power naps. And I was tired. I was miserable. And it wasn't a fun one. And I didn't even do that well on the papers. I handed one of them in like a day late, and I felt really bad because I liked the prof. So yeah. What's your favorite? I'm curious now.
I've had some pretty bad ones where like I stay up to like 5 a.m. because I made some poor life choices and needed to, you know, make an outline of all of the research for my 12-page paper. But I think my favorite, which was the most rewarding, it was awful at the time, but it was for EN301.
Oh,
for the exam, which is, for those who aren't in that class, it's literary theory, which is like notoriously like the hardest course, which they made like an easier second year course for the new curriculum, but
which really isn't that much easier based on what I've heard.
So you gotta pick your battle, but
just
we were going insane.
We were going nuts. We were crazy. Like we were embodying the philosophers. We were becoming philosophers.
Yes. Yep.
That was not my favorite, I would say, because I wouldn't count it as an all-nighter because
it
was an all-dayer. It was like 13 hours on campus with like us taking turns to go get food. And the taking turns was us paying each other back.
Yeah, and getting Skittles.
And getting Skittles, and then telling the prof we had to get Skittles.
Yep. But let's paint the pictures for everyone.
Let's paint a
so
picture.
So if you want to pass this exam with, you know, like, shining stars.
We don't know what we got on it. We could have done terribly.
Well, judging by, like, our final grade, I think we didn't, like, bomb it.
Yeah.
So basically, you need to find a friend in this class. You will succeed, have a better time succeeding if you have a friend. And so, friend sitting across the table, Evelyn.
That's me.
So we can compile our notes together. We can talk it out, which is like one of like the best study methods you can do. So we're in a classroom in Daub because where else would you study as an English major? And
I
then
love Daub.
We would have Evelyn's whiteboard markers, and
they died from that. They don't work anymore.
We may have also died from those 3 days.
We did.
But we write all the theory on the board. There's like, I don't know, 20 plus theories that we went over.
Oh my God.
And, you know, synthesize each one on the board. We talk about it, take a picture. We synthesize it again on a laptop, talk it out. It was insanity.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a time. We live in a time.
Yeah.
Isn't that a movie?
We live in time? I think you're right.
There we go. I know pop culture. So that was a good all-dayer, but my favorite all-nighter occurred in second year.
Mm.
It was when I took HI-222, Cultures of Mesoamerica. I put off working on this for so long because it was my last paper. And you know when you reach like the last paper and you're like, I just don't want to do this.
Yeah.
So the day before it was due, I spent all day working on it. I was nowhere near done. So I decided to just stay up all night. And once again, running on monster energy and power naps, I finished the paper at like 4 a.m. the day it was due. So I can't do math very well, but that's at least like 16. Mm-hmm. I think that's like more than 16 hours before it was actually due. So I gave myself time to go over it. And I thought it was terrible. I had fun writing it. I got to talk about a archaeological site in Mexico. I don't know anything about archaeology. But I talked about like state development and stuff like that. Complex state, civilization, whatever. And I thought it was terrible. I handed it in. I'm like, okay, I'm done. 2 weeks later, more like a week later, I'm watching soccer on the TV. I get like one of those pulse notifications on my phone. It's for this paper. I swipe A+. What? This was not good. I look closely, like, you know how it doesn't show you the number? You have to, like, actually open the website. I got 100 on that.
Wow.
I've never gotten 100 on a paper before or after that. That was crazy. It wasn't even that good, but shout out, because that was, that was my favorite all-nighter because it resulted in 100%. Mm. And, like, I look back on it fondly.
Yeah, fair.
Speaking of staying up late, sometimes that means we don't get our readings done.
Yeah. Guilty.
What's your like best BSing you've ever done on a book that you never read?
That's a great question.
Do you want me to go first? Because you know I have one locked and loaded.
Okay. Yeah. You go first.
So I'm exposing myself. I took a young adult lit class this past term. And I only didn't read one of the books, and I thought I could get away with it because usually on English exams they give you an option on which essay topic you write on. So if you haven't read one of the books, you're good. It's fine. I was not given an option. So one of the books, like you had to write on both of them. So I knew nothing about this book other than what we talked about in class, and half the time I was zoned out. So I gathered all my knowledge that of everything that ever happened, and I managed to accurately summarize one of the short stories in the novel and got like it and explained the significance and how it relates to whatever culture we were talking about, and I got 100% on that part.
Nice.
And I didn't read any of the books. So, Dr. Bell, please don't listen to this.
I have mine.
All right.
So, I know not everyone loves every professor, but I really love Haran. Second year me loved it. My little ADHD brain loved the weird, like elementary school structure. So, you know, if hate on it if you want, I liked it. In her African child class, there were 4 novels, and by the end, I was behind in everything. You know, as someone with ADHD does. And so the last book, which I regret not reading, it sounds fun. It was called Icarus Girl.
That does sound fun.
I think I had read, like, the first chapter and then went, I'm not reading it because, you know, there's 2 classes. There's classes where, like Nemesvari's, where you have to pick your reading apart, have excerpts highlighted. There's other classes, like Child in Africa, where you need to read the material but not, like, dissect it. You just need, like, general notes to talk about it in class. You know, if you pick one, you can, you know, write it up for your essay or whatever. But Icarus Girl, there were, like, 4 quizzes. And having read 1 chapter and having the ebook and Command F, I got 100% on, like, the 10-question quiz. So that nice. Is the best, like, BSing that I did.
Incredible.
Yep. The feedback Haran got for, you know, like, the end of the year, whatever, I said move that book so people can read it. Don't leave it for the end.
Yeah, no, the last books of term often are, they're neglected. So justice for the last books in term. But, you know, we do actually do our readings.
Yep, surprise. Despite what we've just said.
I have read the majority of books. Yep. There's usually like 1 or 2 that I don't read. So let's talk about, like, maybe our top 2 books from each year.
Okay.
And then we'll make our letterbox. I just spoiled it. I don't care.
I can go first.
Do we want to... We'll talk about each year together, I say.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So for me, I took 3 English classes in my first year because I didn't want to take anything else.
Understandable.
And, you know, love that there's English and film together, but film's hard.
It is.
I don't like it.
I've never taken it, that's why.
I only have 1 that's my top. It's Americana. Evelyn is nodding and smiling her head because she didn't read this book.
I didn't have time.
But I loved it. It was a thick one for first year, honestly, but it was the first contemporary book that I read, and I was like, wow, this doesn't suck. So that's why it's up there.
Yeah, that's a good one. Do you have a honorary mention, I guess?
Honorary mention, I would probably say Fun Home. I forget who is that by, but... It's a comic graphic novel.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Very persuasive. So for me, I would say my honorable mention to Johnny Appleseed that we read in Lit and Love.
I didn't like that one.
Oh, okay. It's about like a queer two-spirit indigenous person living in somewhere in Western Canada, I think.
I'm gonna say Calgary or something like
that. Yeah, Western Canada in like an urban center. Kind of about healing. And I wrote my essay on it. I enjoyed it. It was a cute one. But it was also kind of sad at some points.
Yep.
It was depressing.
It was a complex book.
It was a complex book. And this is me trying to recount it from first year, like 3 years ago. But my favorite one was a graphic memoir called Becoming Unbecoming that I read for Lit and Crime. And it was about a woman who lives in England, her experience with sexual assault and how that impacted her growing up. And it was just very powerful. I made my mom read it. 'Cause the way that the art and the storyline went together was really good. Second year. Sophia, take it away.
Yeah. Second year. Okay, my top 2 is Speak, which is the second book, I believe, in the YA Lit class. Super, I was about to say it's super fun. It's not super fun. It was really interesting to read. I like the structure of the book. It's about a eighth grader who gets sexually assaulted, and it's a really like empowering book to read. And then the second one is for Tweenlit and Hazel's Theory of Evolution, which was just super fun. My Goodreads review says it healed my inner child, and I think it did.
Mine, I want to say Dr. Faustus, but Sophia won't let me. So I won't.
You can do whatever you want.
But it's also not my favorite. It's up there. I would say my second favorite was Twelfth Night, like the Shakespeare play, by William Shakespeare. Because also one of my favorite movies is She's the Man, which is an adaptation, which we talked about yesterday.
We did talk about yesterday, yeah.
But my favorite was a play called Fronteras Americanas, and my mom's going to be like, why did you say it that way? It means American borders, and it's about this Argentinian man who comes to Canada in the 1960s, I believe, and it's about kind of reconciling the two cultures, and I also made my mom read it. Third year. Wait, yes.
Yep.
Third year.
So mine double counts because I actually, I read it once, but it was assigned in two classes, and that is Northanger Abbey. If you saw the list of books that I read last year, there's Shakespeare and 19th century lit. So you're going to go, Northanger Abbey, what? That was the best one of the bunch. So, sorry.
Ah, it's fine.
I feel like I don't have to explain what Northanger Abbey is.
No, the people will know.
Half the English program has read it already.
Yeah. My favorite's the Norton Anthology of Theory and Criticism, third edition.
Boo.
I'm kidding. My two favorites I'm not picking because I can't are The Prelude by William Wordsworth. Beautiful poetry. He's a romantic. It's really nice. Made me want to go outside. And Jane Eyre. And I'm not going to explain Jane Eyre because it's so well known.
Yep.
All right. Wrapping it up with fourth year.
Yep. So I only have one because, you know, haven't finished the other semester yet, but my top one is to The Lighthouse by Virginia Woolf, because we talked about schlongs at the end of the class, that was very fun.
Sophia loves to talk about those.
Not
in a Freudian way.
No, I just like to point out the imagery in, you know, old novels.
What were the words that Mrs. Ramsay used?
I don't know what she used.
Stroke.
Oh, there was a whole excerpt of her stroking the lighthouse and the light coming in, and it was very orgasmic, and it was very intense. So that's why the lighthouse has a giant penis, because it is.
That's phallic imagery, if I've ever heard of it. My favorite was Feed from the YA Lit class. Technological dystopian. Made me get off my phone. Very, like, opposite of Wordsworth, but did the same thing for me where I'm just like, I'm going outside now. That's my top one for fourth year, definitely. And I have no honorable mentions because only one of the terms is done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, welcome to the end of our podcast. We had no idea that we would fill 50 minutes, so
43 minutes and, well, 52 seconds.
They don't know that, though.
Yeah, no, I didn't realize we could yap so much, and our time for this room is almost over in about 3 minutes, I would say.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, which you are, thank you for listening. We'll have another episode coming out sooner or later. I think in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks, yeah.
We'll be talking about fan fiction, TikTok, and kind of non-academic-y literature.
So the entire opposite of today's topic.
Exactly. So thank you so much for joining us. Tune in 2 weeks. Bye.